Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Conscious Connection with Gary Stewart. Happy New Year to my listeners out there. I'm so excited to kick off the new year with one of the most brilliant authors and human beings out there. Her name is Sarah Payton. She's an international constellation facilitator and a certified trainer of nonviolent communications. She's also a neuroscience educator. She integrates constellations, brain science, and the use of resonant language to heal trauma. She teaches and lectures internationally and is a regular contributor to The Knowing Field, which is an international constellations journal. And she's the author of a chapter on Stefan Hausner's book, Salutogen auf Stellungen. I hope I have that right. My German's a little rusty. She's also an annual guest speaker and teacher at the Ben Reed Intensive in Southern Germany. I'm very excited to talk to her about her latest book, which is absolutely wonderful, Your Resonant Self. And it's full of so much information. It's mind-boggling, literally and figuratively. And she also has guided meditations and exercises to engage our brain's capacity for healing. So let me get her right now. She's just incredible, and I'm so excited to have her. Hello, Sarah, are you there? Hello, Sarah, are you
there? Hi. Yeah, I'm right here.
There you are. Well, Happy New Year. You're my first guest of the new year, so I'm very excited to have you.
I'm honored.
Yes. Oh, me too. Me too, immensely. And so let's start. A lot of people who know me know that I do constellations, and for me to be wowed, it has to take someone very special, of which you are. So how did you become a constellation facilitator?
Well, I stumbled across constellations when I was out teaching the language that heals trauma. And I was in like a day-long roster of folks who were doing different healing modalities, and here was constellations. I was placed as a French ancestor, and I wept. And I was like, what the heck is this cool experience? And so I went to discover what it was. And then I thought, how could we bring the language that heals trauma alive inside of constellation work?
Yeah, that's what I find just wonderful about the work, because, you know, the funny thing is our ancestors didn't have an opportunity to voice what was going on, so it's kind of underground and silent, and I believe that creates a lot of the negative reactions in people's lives, like alcoholism, and most of the trauma is reactive in the future generation. So what I'm amazed to get the core truth out, that peace can happen and healing can happen in the future, even though the rep doesn't even know the client's last name, nor this French woman or whatever happened to her in the family lineage.
Yeah.
So it's quite amazing. It's very quantum. So, and then at the same time, were you studying relational neuroscience, or you were already in that field and then you just discovered constellations as an adjunct to that?
I discovered the language that heals trauma first and had this experience we had adopted a son who was in his teens, and I so wanted to be able to hug him, and there was something in me that wouldn't let me hug him, and it was sort of a little bit of a nightmare. And I had this experience of being met in the exploration about that with resonant language, and I was like, what just happened? I had this huge shift. I had a spontaneous memory of my mother recoiling from me, reaching for her when I was just 2 or 3 years old, as people were just listening to me. And I thought, what happened? So I went in search of what happened, and I found the whole burgeoning field of relational neuroscience. People were trying to figure out what our brains do in relationship with one another. How do we affect one another? How do we affect one another both from our earliest days, and how do we affect one another now in present time when we're grown-up adults?
So you saw in your own life that pattern repeat with your adopted child.
Yes. Yes, and it was, and as it became really clear to me, I was freed from it. So I thought, how is it? Basically, my entire exploration and wondering and what I walk around in the hallways of my house wondering about instead of washing my dishes is, what's happening? How do we heal each other? What are the effects of trauma? How can we bring ourselves to each other in ways that allow much deeper and quicker healing than anything we've ever experienced before?
Yeah, I personally find constellations is one of the fastest ways to get there. Did you notice any changes after you had that personal revelation about your own process?
Yes, I was able to hug my son. And
yeah,
that was incredibly supportive for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to... I also got to watch, I began to watch other people shift around really deep and recalcitrant issues that hadn't had any changes, but it was really not until I started to fully explore constellation work that I began to see myself and the people I was working with in the larger context of families and systems and history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
there, I did a mathematical equation. If each parent has one child, 10 generations behind us equals over 8,000 people.
Wow.
Back to 10th great grandparent. So,
yeah,
it's just interesting how many people we're connected to. And a majority of them are dead with incomplete issues that certainly get carried by us because we share their DNA, not to mention behavior, proclivities.
There's a lot of research coming out these days that shows the way that the epigenetic profile of our DNA is shifted in relationship to the traumas that we have lived through and how that gets carried through the generations to children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of the latest findings I've read that they've officially declared that PTSD is inheritable, which means you'll have the trauma without the actual experience of the trauma, which is, I feel, that's a shoo-in for constellations, that's for sure.
Yes, I think so too. When we get to touch, it feels a little like the healing work that we do. I mean, I believe, you know, my favorite epigeneticist, who is a DNA epigenetics researcher in Montreal, his name is Moshe Jeef. He says we carry our mother in every cell of our prefrontal cortex.
Wow.
So, yeah, and he also says that when we look at our epigenetic profile, we are starting to be able to track the effects of trauma on our families. So he thinks that in 40 years we'll be able to look like people look at the, you know, when you cut a tree and you look at the tree rings.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
that we'll be able to look at people's DNA, the epigenetics of the DNA, and see which historical events have impacted this family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. So how does relational neuroscience flow into your constellation work?
One of the things that I love to do is to think about the relational neuroscience of the client's question.
Mm-hmm.
So I, when a client is doing their interview with me, then I'm listening for the family history and for the personal history, but I'm also wondering what brain parts and what brain systems are showing up or not showing up in the client's interview. So, for example, if a client is working with really wanting to claim and heal their own sexuality, that is a particular circuit in the human body and in the human brain. And it is a circuit that carries our life energy. And we can have, for example, unconscious contracts, unconscious family contracts that ask us not to put any life energy into that circuit. Or we can have unconscious contracts that ask us not to put any energy into the rage circuit, instead to divert everything to grief. So I'm always wondering, how has my client been impacted on a brain level and on a body level by whatever it is that they or their family has lived through?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. You know, for our listeners who aren't familiar with constellations, I like to give visual images. Just imagine an iceberg. We're living on the tip of the iceberg in physical reality with the sun shining down on the white snow cap. But 90% of that iceberg is submerged underwater. Mm-hmm. And I think that is all the dead ancestors, say the 8,000 people of our 10 generations who came before us. And the whole iceberg is supported by consciousness, that everything is consciousness ultimately, with or without a body. And that keeps everything flowing, so to speak. So that for people who... listeners who don't know about constellation work, that's a good visual for them to grasp what we're talking about, those depths.
And that the constellation work lets us peek under the ocean and see what's there. Yeah.
The interesting thing for our listeners who may not know a lot about this is that constellations really give us a window to what I say it's like an objective window to our subconscious mindset, 90% of which is from the generation. So we get to see externally what's going on at the deepest level, because a lot of people that I work with, they're totally surprised where the constellation goes, because that's the last place they ever expected. But yet this field of consciousness, I find, never lies. It seeks the truth, and us as have to be courageous enough to hold the space for that truth to reveal itself. So that's exciting, because we have no idea, you know, and there's a big difference between the ego mind and the soul, and constellations really what's being carried in the soul of the person and the family. Not to mention biologically as well as emotionally and psychologically. So you use Resonant now in your title, Your Resonant Self, which is an incredible book. It's really dense reading, but it's so information-packed. It's really a gift to the world. I congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
So what is resonant language for our listeners?
Right. Well, we as humans have a left hemisphere and a right hemisphere. And most of our language centers are in the left hemisphere, which has a different structure cortically than the right hemisphere. It looks at the world as if we are instruments and everybody else are instruments for the enactment of our will and other people's will. I call this kind of language that we use when we're getting things done, instrumental language. So most of our language is instrumental language, and very little of it is actually resonant language, which is the language of the right hemisphere. We get away with how instrumental our language is because prosody, everything about language that's not the content, so the warmth in our voice, the emotion, the speed, the intonation, the rhythm, the volume, the intensity, all of these things are the prosody of language. And so even when we're instrumental, we're often bringing our instrumental language to life with our emotions. But it's a very interesting and different thing when we begin to shift into what kind of language awakens and engages the right hemisphere. And that kind of language is emotional language, body-centered language, the language of body sensations. Poetry is right hemisphere language. Humor that surprises us is right hemisphere language. When we make a dream for somebody else that couldn't ever possibly come true, that's right hemisphere language. It's the language, it's kind of the language of soaring imagination and bodies. And we rarely, of course, to each other in that way, because that's just not the way we talk to each other. Mostly we talk to each other to get things done. So it's a real shift to move into what is resonant language. Now, constellation work, actually, the healing sentences, for those listeners who don't know about constellation work, one of the things that happens is that people say basic truths that involve the self and the other. So a mother who has never been able to say, I love you, in a constellation becomes supported to say, I love you. Or if there's a truth that has never been spoken, a wife hates a husband, that truth gets to be spoken. I hate you. I have always hated you. And when these truths are spoken, you can feel the whole room relax when it's a really powerful truth that hasn't been spoken in the system before.
I love about healing sentences, you know, a lot of trained about 10 people, and they have a really hard time with that. But I tell people, listen to your heart, because I feel like the field guides me from, say, an intellectual place to start, then it sinks down to the earth, and then it rises to my heart, deeply feminine place. And one meme I did with a picture was, the truth has never hurt anyone, it's the lies that do all the damage. And I find that true, because people are in reaction to a non-truth, even though they feel there's a deeper truth. It's like once you see it manifested in a constellation, like I don't love my mother or my mother didn't love me, it's done. The energy isn't held, pressurized, and squeezed. It's like, okay, that's the truth. Now I can move on. So it's so liberating just to speak the truth, and especially in our political age right now. I mean, it's laughable. It's more important than ever, you know, our society has to get back to honesty and integrity, you know. But that's what I love about the work. And I tell people that the phrases may seem simplistic, but what I find is the soul speaks in a way in childlike terms that are deeply truthful, but they have a vibration that's much deeper than all the machinations of some story or some distraction to avoid it. So it's much simpler, just truth and be done with it.
Yes. Yes, and this is resonant language because it has an I and a you in it. Instrumental language really doesn't realize that somebody else exists except as a function. So an example of I and you in a sentence that's instrumental language is, I would like you to shut the door, you know, which is not does not speak to us of deep emotional truths.
Right, exactly.
So the I and the you and speaking about something that's true is resonant language. And it allows body fluidity. It allows bodies to sink in and begin. When truths are acknowledged, then the bodies start to change and shift and soften and find themselves grounded in new ways.
Yes. And the other thing with resonant language, I prefer to do my constellations in group settings. And when that truth is spoken by, say, an anonymous family member that the client may not even know that it was attached to their great-great-grandmother, the whole group, because we all are really one large family system as a species, the whole group gets healed simultaneously by hearing that truth spoken. I'm sure somewhere in the room, somebody had a mother that didn't love them or it never was said. So when they hear that externally and just process it, it's actually healing them participating, watching the constellation or inside the constellation while it's serving the client. And I just think that's the magical part of constellations, how it's universally healing everyone who's exposed to it simultaneously in many other dimensions. And that's the really that's the biggest gift. And some people have a hard time understanding that, but it's I know after doing about 10,000 constellations, it's absolutely true.
So true. And
now
and
with
such
trauma,
a gift.
You mentioned trauma because we were talking about that, and we finally got to meet person to person at the North American conference there in Virginia, and I felt they were heavy on trauma there, which is all well and good, but the other thing that I did in my presentation, which you weren't at because you were doing your own at the same time, is actually, even though trauma's perceived as a negative, it also provides strength and resolve to survive. So I liken trauma, you know, in milder cases, we'll call it, because I've had some pretty severe myself, with clients in my own life, is that it's like bad weather. It's like that tree or flower was rained on, then it got cold, then it was frost, then it was windy, and yet does that tree or flower say, well, I should have never existed because it's not the perfect conditions? And I find that with trauma, it's not ideal. I was, you know, personally abused by my family, you know, child battering and all that kind of negative things. And but on a deeper level, did that provide me with the resolve to stand either against the negativity or to be strong in spite of the negativity and survive it? So luckily that I could rediscover my heart and bear my soul with it, whereas other people who had the same trauma could end up being serial killers to resolve their inner trauma, you know, that they never dealt with. So it's such hot button issue. So what are your thoughts on trauma coming into the resonant language and relational neuroscience?
Sure. Well, for me, I think and speak a lot about accompaniment, about the importance for humans of being deeply understood by one another. I'm also amazed, perhaps as you also are, by the difference in the way that people are able to deal with experiences that we might call traumatic experiences.
Yes.
Everybody has a very different, you know, sense of where they get stuck emotionally or with their memories, with intrusive memories. So some people can, you know, break multiple bones in a huge fall, and that's not what's traumatic for them. What's traumatic was a doctor dismissing their pain. You know, it's such a different experience for each person where their system gets stuck. Mm-hmm. And the more that we have an internalized accompaniment of being understood, in North America, being understood is not considered necessary. You know, what's considered necessary in North America is being stoic, being independent, not being needy, not having to ask other people for help, taking care of ourselves. And, that's what's like the ideal, is the lone hero that we see so often in our movies, you know, the person who isn't affected by pain.
Originally, so it's definitely in the New England mindset. Maybe it's from the colonists or the pilgrims, but or Europe, you know, leaving Europe from all the trauma, they said, we'll just brave it alone, you know.
Yes.
Even if the earth is flat, we'll take a chance.
Right. Yes, there was such a separation from family in our early and later history of North America. Every family in North America, including our indigenous peoples, have mostly been moved off of whatever land truly belonged to our ancestors. Mm-hmm. We are a nation that has had its roots chopped off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so in honor of this understanding that everybody's trauma is different, my definition of trauma is actually a difficult event during or after which we were unaccompanied, which is a radical redefinition of trauma. And we can tell which events were traumatic for us by noticing which memories are still charged. Because the part of the brain that holds emotional memory has no sense of time. So we know if we're touching a memory and it has that timeless quality of still carrying an emotional charge, we know it's something that there's a seed of loneliness in here. And this is what is so beautiful about constellation work, is that we either in one-on-one work with constellations, we can accompany people, or even more dramatically with a group of people, we can accompany someone that has never been accompanied before. And this, I think, you know, speaks to your sense, Gary, that with constellation work, people can move quite quickly in their healing.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it's my favorite modality, that's for sure. So how do you find traumas released in constellations that you facilitate?
I would say that there are a couple of ways that trauma can be released. One is with kind of a formal sending of a gift to the traumatized self. This can be such beautiful work. When we turn toward a younger self who could be 3 years old, could be from day before yesterday, and we send that understanding and warmth and acknowledgement, the gift of whatever the previous younger self needed, there can be a tremendous, you know, resolution. And then if the traumatized part is in any way represented in the constellation and is it reclaimed and connected with other parts, even if there's not a formal sending of a gift, then we see this kind of easing and resolution and a decharging of the emotional memory. Mm. All of a sudden, it becomes contextualized into our larger autobiography, which takes us back to your idea about trauma, that one of the after effects of trauma can be post-traumatic growth, where there's tremendous resilience, tremendous strength. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing that I feel, sometimes clients are afraid to let it go because they feel so self-identified with it, especially sexual, not to minimize it in any way, because it's one of the biggest tragedies of the 20th century, if not our whole species, is that people who are victimized, they view themselves as that, and then they manifest that in so many other areas of their life rather than letting it go because they've somehow identified that the trauma is...
Well, one of the after effects of trauma, one of the after effects of especially sexual trauma can be that the nervous system gets downshifted into hopelessness.
Right.
And so part of our work as facilitators is to invite those nervous systems that have been downshifted into hopelessness back into engagement with life. Because when we look at those people who have this experience and there's re-victimization, sometimes we can blame them, but that is not neurobiologically sound. What needs to happen is that their nervous systems need to be reawakened and get to come back out of the shock and the heaviness that they are carrying.
Yeah. And it's quite most people are stunned. I was stunned by my constellations and by life to this field and facilitating and supporting others' healings and writing about it as well. So we're nearing the end. We only have a couple minutes, and I told you we could go on for an hour. But so your book about constellations is Your Resonant Self.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Guided meditations, exercises to engage your brain's capacity for healing.
Yes.
And can they obviously can find this on Amazon.
And Barnes & Noble.
And Barnes & Noble. Good, good. It's an excellent book, and I gave some as Christmas gifts to my facilitator training.
Oh, thank you.
Have some stimulating reading, to say the least. And now for your personal contact, if any of our listeners want to contact you, because I know you have a lot of events coming up. I was on the faculty of the Northern California Constellation, West Coast Constellations Intensive, which you'll be at in May, I believe it is.
That's correct,
But how can people find out more? Do you want them to go to your website, www.empathybrain.com?
That's right, empathybrain.com. Yeah, empathybrain.com, one word, empathybrain. Yes. And then there's a book website as well that has the stuff connected with the book, yourresonantself.com.
Oh, great. Wonderful, wonderful. I'll make sure they're both posted on this link here, so they'll be able to just click on it with the link as well. Well, I can't thank you enough for taking time to, and I will get this out to my circles, which are far and wide. Thank you very much, Sarah. It's just been wonderful to talk to you. And if you would like to come back again, we can even go deeper because there's so much information in your book. It's just incredible. You're an incredible human being and really advancing us as a species on so many levels. So I can't thank you enough.
Thank you,
Conscious
Gary.
Conscious Connection thanks you for doing our New Year kickoff here, and blessings in all you do.
Oh, thank you. Blessings to you as well, and I'd love to come back. That would be wonderful.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. This is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection interviewing Sarah Payton with her new book, Your Resonant Self. Thank you. Until we meet again, namaste.